revealing the secrets of great public speaking. It's the Speak Fearless Podcast with Mark Westbrook.
Hello, hello. Come on in, sit right down. Nice to see you. Good to know you. I've got the old red trousers on. It's time for the Speak Fearless Podcast. It's episode 7. I'm Mark Westbrook from Speak Fearless. I'm a former professional acting coach who's worked with everyone from Hollywood to Bollywood. And these days, I help individuals and teams crush their fear, silence their inner critic, and avoid the mistakes that 99% of people make when presenting to an audience. I've helped a lot of clients overcome their fear of public speaking or take their presentation skills to the next level. And lately, I've been helping people with their fluency and confidence in speaking English. So that's a whole new area. Today's episode is bursting with little-known secrets about how to capture and hold your audience's attention, which means you'll never struggle to fascinate and captivate your audience. I'd say that 90% of the presentations I've attended in my life have been boring. The presenter misunderstood the purpose of a presentation and they have bored the audience rigid. Oh yeah, they have. In fact, I reckon most people dread attending a presentation almost as much as giving one. For that very reason, they know they're going to be bored. So how do you stop that from happening? How do you grab their attention and hold it until the end of the presentation? Fear not, for there are practical tools and techniques that can be used to grasp the audience in the introduction of your presentation and hold them lovingly until the end. In this episode, I'll give you 3 secret techniques that help you be remembered as someone who can give a presentation rather than someone that everyone else dreads presenting. Right at the beginning of the presentation, that's where it's make or break. Most people burble along, introduce themselves, I'm James Cooper from blah, 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 behaving like a business-like professional and boring your audience out of their brains. Now, when I say a business-like professional, I don't actually mean that. I mean, they behave in line with a stereotype of a boring, grey, appropriate, proper business professional. Memorable professionals do not behave like stereotypes. They're authentic and real. So right from the get-go, stop trying to be proper, stop trying to be appropriate, and start being real and authentic. That doesn't mean I'm encouraging you to do anything inappropriate, although I'm not entirely sure what that means. I'm just suggesting that your greyest, most boring presentations come from someone who has a limited presentation of themselves, and therefore a very limited presentation of their topic. This is the kind of person who thinks their job is to inform. Now, I don't care if you're presenting last quarter's financial figures, your institution's well-being program, or a pitch for $1 million. If you want to stand out, you can't try to fit in and be like all the rest. So how do you do that? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm here to tell you. Grab attention at the top of the presentation. Why? People tend to remember what you say first. People tend to remember what you say first. Open with something memorable. As I've said, most people mumble and introduce themselves and say what they're going to say about and talk and say it over and again. And, you know, it's written in front of them what you're going to say. But you're going to say, oh, I'm going to talk about this. Yes, thank you. I know what you're going to talk about. Why are you going to start with that? It is agonizing. Are you agonizing? Is that what it's like to listen to you? Let's change that. Start with something that captures attention. A fact. A startling fact. Now, it does have to be relevant to your presentation, but that's not so hard once you connect it back to a fact, once you've written the presentation. So, you know, you always write the beginning at the end, so you can find a fact that suits your presentation. So, if it's a presentation about big institutional change, make it a fact about the power of transformation. For instance, until 1972, the Boston Marathon didn't feature any female runners. Things really change, huh? Beavers were once the size of bears. Things change. At birth, a baby panda is smaller than a mouse. Things change. You see how these facts support the underlying message of the presentation? But you can't do that until you know what your presentation is about. So, of course, you need to work out a way to fit that into the presentation. But like I said, add your facts at the end and they will support the message you want to send. If you start with the facts, they will dictate the message, and that's not a good idea at all. There are more pyramids in Sudan than there are in Egypt. And not just a few more. Almost double. Egypt's just better at promoting their pyramids. Think how you could link that to your topic. Is it about how everyone thinks that Egypt has the pyramids because they got better marketing? What if you have a better product, but everyone else thinks the other guys are best? Why? Because they have better marketing. And here's the plan to change. See how that works? Using a surprising fact to upend how people think of something. For instance, did you know that the peanut is not a nut? In fact, neither are walnuts, or almonds, or cashews, or even pistachios. They're actually all seeds. Take something that people presume is true, show them that something that people accept as the truth can turn out to be false. What if you want your audience to think about a difficult subject, or something that's difficult to talk about? You could point out that the first time that anyone used the word period in a television commercial was in 1985. That's right. People, well, women, have been around for 7 million years. And the first time anyone used the word period on television was 1985. How squeamish were we that we couldn't talk about that? Something that happens to half the adult population every month. This might help you introduce talking about a topic that people are squeamish about now, but in the future, it probably won't be. All you have to do is link the topic and the message of your presentation to a surprising factoid. And by the way, the person who said it was none other than Courtney Cox, Monica from Friends, Gail Weathers from the Scream movies. See, a little interesting fact draws the attention in. So you know that you can grab attention with a startling, fascinating fact. It isn't a fact about you or your company or your product or anything like that. It exists in the world, and you draw a parallel. But remember, write the presentation first, define the message, then Google for a fact that will grab the audience's attention. The second secret is to tell a story. We all love stories, don't we? Tell a story about yourself, about someone else, about your company, your client, your customer, anything, anyone. Human beings love stories. We love the beginning, middle, and end of it. We especially love the end. Why? Because we crave closure. Once we've opened a door in our mind, we want it to be closed again. We call that story a story with an open loop. Have you seen those advertisements on YouTube or something where they promise you that at the beginning, they promise you, but you have to watch the whole blooming thing before you find out the secret they promised you? Well, here you are. That's an open loop. They're opening a loop and denying the close, keeping you listening in case you miss it until the end. So you start a story with something fascinating, and then you go off on a tangent, leaving the loop open, which the human mind finds quite irritating, thank you. And it will want to close that loop. This will make the audience listen even more carefully as they're waiting for the moment that the loop is closed. The amazing Billy Connolly tells stories precisely like that. Although he's famous for some of his witty one-liners, it's also his stories that give us pleasure. And all that time spent delaying gratification for the punchline at the end only makes the payoff even greater. So I'd like to give you an example of a story. So imagine you're giving a talk about upcoming graduation from the university that you work at. And you say, hello, good morning, I'm James Cooper from the university's events department, and I'd like to talk to you today about how you can help us to make a wonderful graduation. Okay, it's all right. It's not inspiring. It's not even that interesting, but it's all right. But, okay, what if we use something else instead? What if we say this? On Thursday, Mahmoud's parents are going to drive up from Blackburn to Glasgow to watch their son graduate. Now, it's not been an easy journey. They arrived into this country as refugees, and they've had to sacrifice a lot to help their son to get through university. And he has embraced that opportunity and worked hard and sacrificed himself to finish that degree at the top of the class with the offer of a scholarship for postgraduate study afterwards. And when they're driving up, imagine the pride and the excitement that they're coming to Glasgow to watch their son who's achieved so much. And on Thursday, when we graduate 2,000 people, let's make it a success for Mahmoud, his parents, and everyone attending graduation. Now, okay, the second one goes on a bit. I appreciate that. But it's a lot more engaging, and you probably care more about helping me to make a smooth graduation. Rather than, and these are the things you can do that will help graduation go more smoothly. If you're going to tell a story, it can't be dry as dust. And you have to use your body and voice to bring it to life for the audience. I'm not saying act it out as such, but at least employ your expression to make it engaging for the audience to listen to. This is the point at which the head of accounts usually says, I don't have any stories to tell in my next team meeting. Remember, the story is to illustrate your point, just like the facts were. So if I was arguing, for instance, that we will struggle to understand why Russia is at war with Ukraine until we understand Slavic culture better, I would want a story. How about this? I could tell them about the day that my ex-wife wouldn't let me out of the house with wet hair from her Moscow apartment in case I caught meningitis. I laughed, but she was deadly serious. She was trying to protect me from seriously damaging my health. Just as she was serious about the lady at check-in irreparably damaging her womb by handling such big suitcases, or that someone would chill their womb by sitting on the cold ground. Now, these little stories, they all show that Slavic, or at least Russian culture, is quite a superstitious culture. Now, if we don't approach our understanding of the Russian people through their culture, we're never likely to understand them.
Subscribe to the Speak Fearless podcast now and never miss an episode.
The final secret, it's really the best. It's a technique called what is versus what could be. And this is how it works. Tell the audience the world in which they experience the issue you're discussing. Imagine you're talking about the cultural activities that your organization has organized in the past year. You're hoping to make people more culturally aware of the diversity of cultures within your organization. Describe it. Describe the way it is. And get people nodding along in agreement. Tell them it's easy to get locked into your own little world. We've all got our own goals to achieve and tasks to undertake. It can be easy to look inwardly and miss the range of cultures that exist within the organization. Make a point that it's not the world that it could be. How could we all benefit from looking outwards at the world of culture within the organization? How would the organization benefit from this further? State the way it is, and then describe what could be. What is it? We have employees from 24 countries in our organization. What could we learn from them and their culture about improving the way our organization works with overseas clients? Or our current client, an engineering firm in Sweden, is considering not renewing their contract with us. What could be? Let's talk to Sven and Elsa and see if we can use their understanding of Swedish culture to help persuade that company to stay with us. So you shuttle between what is and what could be. It's a powerful way of helping your audience to create a vision of the future which is stronger and better for them and the organization. I've got a client who had to give a review, and he knew that the senior management were probably going to be pretty hard about the people hours spent. So he presented the world as it is. A team that's tired. A team whose well-being hasn't been that well taken care of by the organization. A team where they're going to be expected to do the same difficult work under the same or more difficult circumstances. And then what could be? If we ask them not to work weekends, if we make them feel important and special, if we talk to them about the bonus, if we're going to give them a day off here to celebrate their success, or what could be? The body of your presentation creates a bridge between what is and what could be. You can even ask for contributions from the audience to help bridge the gap, which means it's like you're moderating a discussion. I've even used this on my daughter. So what is? Okay, you can't read at the moment. So all these books and all these amazing stories are locked away from you. What could be? When you can learn to read those books, you can visit the kingdoms of princesses and unicorns once you can read. And guess what? Suddenly she wants to learn these strange symbols which fill the thousands of books in our house. Presenting what is and what could be is a powerful way to make your main points in a presentation. The middle part of your presentation can just be that, a series of what is and what could be. Here's the problem. Most people's middles, just a list of issues, which suggests an even bigger problem. The presenter doesn't have a proper goal for their presentation. If you don't have a goal, it'll be to tell them information. You're not going to be memorable or impactful or influential. If you want to advance in your career, people need to think you're all three of those things. Grabbing and keeping attention can be achieved with these three techniques. Using facts and stories to grab attention, and then the what is and what could be is a great way to keep them listening to the end. Yes, it's going to take some time to craft that presentation, but a presentation is precisely that. It's crafted. It's a made thing. And it takes time to develop a presentation into something that can really speak effectively for you. Look out for stories in your daily life or on social media or with the people you meet. Keep a wee note or a post-it or something on your phone, you know, where you can use these stories in the future. And that's the thing about great presenters. To be a great speaker, a memorable speaker, you need to have material. And it really helps you to constantly be collecting examples to draw upon from the world you're in, and not just when it's time to write a presentation. You can discover the secrets of public speaking on our programs at Speak Fearless. All of our programs are available on Zoom, so location is absolutely no obstacle or excuse to developing your public speaking and presentation skills. you can learn how to make the most of every opportunity to speak by getting in touch with me at hello@publicspeakingcoachscotland.com. And remember, please, great public speakers are made and not born. It takes work. If you're willing to do the work, you can become a great public speaker.
You've been listening to the Speak Fearless podcast. Head on over to speakfearless.co.uk now for more tips, training, and advice on public speaking and business presentations.